Welcome to the Stanley Street Social Podcast presented by MAP. If you haven't already, make sure you make the most of our discount code for the month, podcast15. Treat yourself to anything you want with a 15% discount. My name's Alex Clements. I'm here with Campbell Flakemore, and today we are unpacking the first three stages of the Tour de France. It's been a big 3 days, Campbell. It hasn't disappointed, that's for sure. And to kick things off, stage one was a very unexpected result.
It was exciting, wasn't it? Truth be told, we were having a few pints of lager down at the pub here in Eos.
And there was a lot of energy.
There was a lot of energy in the gym. We thought it was a good finish for Caleb, and it probably was. Probably got a little bit squeezed there in the finish, but as always, in the first week of the Tour de France, there were victims. Jakob Fuglsang came down pretty hard. Looked like he had a really bad cut on his eye. Nibali just avoided it, and then Groenewegen crashed with about 3K to go, which completely opened the door for teammate Mike Tunison to surprise everyone and take the chocolates. It's not if you look at his results the last couple of months, he's actually been in some super nick. So it's not like it's a big, big surprise. But in terms of Tour de France winning stage one, I don't think many people would have had M. Tunison as their pick.
No, except for that one guy on Twitter who is about 1,500 pounds richer.
Yeah, off just a fiver.
Yeah. He was on the money. But I was pretty flat after the stage. I really thought Caleb could have won.
Yeah. And the thing for sprinters is that not often, it might be a two sort of time in a career opportunity to take the yellow jersey. Normally it's a team time trial or it's a individual time trial prologue. So these chances don't come along often. He got the white jersey. He was third on the stage. Sagan was second. So I guess he still got something out of it. Got to wear a jersey in stage two, but still plenty of chances to come, Alex.
Sagan, second again. Was it 22?
I think 22 times he's finished second in Tour de France stages.
22.
Which is crazy. Because I think I'm not sure how many he's won. It would be at least 10, I'd say. So that would put him, let's say he converts all those twos into ones. He's, by the end of his career, he probably could have had 40 or 50
stages. Yeah. And we're talking about Cav in our preview winning 30.
Yeah.
That's a lot of seconds. The only thing really to report on the GC of that day was Fuglsang crashing, which so far looks okay.
Looks okay. Yeah, I think he was with the doctors today in stage three getting some patches. So it's not really till stage six where it's going to be really tested, where we see the first showdown between the GC boys. But I don't think we're going to get all the GC favourites getting to Paris. There's going to be victims along the way. There always is. It's just part of it, sadly.
Stage two, a team's time trial, 20-odd kilometres. 27 kilometres. It was pretty exciting. It was good to watch.
It's always a good day, the team time trial. I don't know why. It's just,
there's so much stress. There's so much importance on it. So many things can go wrong.
Team selections are probably made based off of it, you'd say.
Yeah. It's a really important day, especially for those GC men. And Team Ineos started the day off very well, posting a very fast time, which coming into the last two teams looked like it was enough to take the chocolates, with a handful of teams missing out by not many seconds. It looked like it was the time of the day.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everyone was within a handful of seconds. Ineos, Quickstep, Sunweb, Katusha, Education First, and CCC, all within about 20 seconds. And then there's this outlier, Team Jumbo-Visma, who win by 20 seconds in a team time trial. A little bit of a surprise. Maybe not to win, but to win by 20 seconds, to average over half a kilometre an hour faster than anyone else. I guess with the yellow jersey, Alex, on the back of Tunison.
Yellow jersey,
it's
flying
everything
through the blood.
And I think we've probably forgotten our preview that Tony Martin is with Jumbo-Visma, a big diesel engine, probably had the 60 chain ring on, had that wound up. And yeah, a little bit of a surprise. But at the same time, I think if we actually look at it, look at the names on the list, look at the scenario that they were in, yellow jersey.
Everyone had gone ahead of them. They're off last.
They knew what they had to do. Exactly. They knew the splits they had to achieve. So that does help.
Yeah. The other good performer for me was FDJ.
Mm-hmm.
Where did they come again?
They came in 8th, 32 seconds off the pace. So only 12 seconds behind Ineos and Quickstep.
Traditionally, European teams with strong European heritage, not so good against the clock.
Not so good. But I think in the preview we were talking about King Kung. We were like, well, maybe he can make a small difference, but
he made a big difference.
He made probably a 20 or 30 second difference out there. And though that was one of the stages where he thought Pinot might suffer a little bit and lose some time, and he didn't really. However, some favourites did. Richie Porte with Trek Segafredo had an absolute shocker. Absolute shocker. They finished, where was it? A minute and 18. So about a minute behind.
I think we were talking about in our preview, for Richie, you'd take 30 seconds.
Yeah.
A minute 17.
Disaster. That's a disaster.
That is a genuine disaster. Especially for a man who is a good climber, but think about trying to put a minute 17 into, well, I guess it's a minute 17 to Jumbo, so a minute 17 to Kreiswijk, and then he's got to put 57 seconds into Geraint.
Yeah, and Bernal somewhere. It's going to be hard. It's really, yeah, especially third day in and you're a 100th on GC.
Mentally.
A minute 30, it's hard. That's really hard, but I think the thing that will probably be in his favour is he hasn't been one of the favourites, been talked up. He might be one of those early attackers on a mountain stage and maybe slip up the road. I don't know, but it doesn't look good. It's not a great start. Disappointing, really.
The other underperformer, Team Movistar.
Mm.
A bit of a surprise?
A little bit. If you look at their list, there's not a whole lot of horsepower. If you go with 3 litres and you have a few other helpers, it doesn't leave a whole lot of room for rulers and TTT specialists. And, yeah, they paid. They were just a little bit in front of Trek, so it was those two and then the four French teams at the bottom of the list, which is no real surprise at all.
And Mitchelton Scott.
Well, they would. I think I spoke quite strongly. I said they're probably the red-hot favourite, and they came in 41 seconds down. That's probably their worst team time trial performance in Tour de France history.
The funny thing, too, about these times is they didn't look too bad until you put
Jumbo in there. Yeah.
Normally 20 seconds down, and then Jumbo come in and set the house on fire.
20 seconds doesn't look too bad, but then, yeah, you throw them in. Big day in the Tour de France, Alex. Changes a lot for me.
Stage 3, and again, we were sitting at the pub thinking, maybe this is day for Caleb.
No beers today, though.
No beers today. No, purely sodas. And it was not at all.
It was not at all. And I think, especially when we saw the last 200 metres, we're like, okay, this definitely wasn't the day. But they raced it hard. They raced that last 30 or 40K hard. And it was, I think, Quickstep with Lamparts, who started quite early in the piece on probably that first major climb, making it hard. And then Daniel Oss got involved as well, who was climbing like a madman.
Chasing down Tim Wellens, who went from the breakaway in a solo pursuit from 50 clicks to go. Yeah.
Welding back brakes. And then he attacked. Julian Alaphilippe, he attacked full tilt on this climb. And I think it was Bernal was on the wheel and got blown off the wheel. That shows how hard it is. And he pressed on 15K to go. We thought, is he going just for the KOM or is he trying to link up with Wellens, who pulled off to the side of the road straight up the top of the KOM? And he pressed on and, you know, obviously looking back, it was the right move, but it was a genuine show of strength and he was completely on another level today, Alaphilippe. He was on a mission.
And it would have been really interesting to see what the DS was saying when he went on that climb, like a long way out.
And there were still a few bumps along the way. It wasn't like it was all downhill or all flat.
And there was a few bumps. And there was a couple of little valleys too. There's a couple of flat sections he had to ride by himself with. It wasn't a full peloton, but there was enough of a peloton there to go. That is gutsy for a man that could have gone on. There was another climb after it.
Or just win the bunch kick at the finish.
Or win the bunch kick at the finish, exactly.
I mean, he could have won it in multiple different ways, but he chose the hardest and the boldest, and it paid off. He got the chockies, and he's also yellow jersey, the first French man since Galopin 2014, you were saying.
Yeah.
But I think, Alex, the main thing to take out of this stage is the massive loss of opportunity for some of those punchy kind of sprinters, i.e. Van Avermaet, Matthews, Stuyven, Peter Sagan, who else was in the top 10? Trentin, Colbrelli, Wout Van Aert, like all the normal suspects. And those teams just did not get organised. They had riders sitting in the bunch. We saw a CCC rider do a 20-second Hercules effort to try and pin the group back. And then Ineos, in the end, they just rode tempo to just keep Thomas and Bernal in the front. And they were concerned about bringing Alaphilippe back. But CCC, Sunweb, they had guys sitting in the group. We saw a CCC rider do a 20-second Hercules effort to try and pin the group back. And then Ineos, in the end, they just rode tempo to just keep Thomas and Bernal in the front. And they were concerned about bringing Alaphilippe back. But CCC, Sunweb, they had guys sitting in the group. And then they're sprinting for second. It just seems like a big, big waste. I'm not sure why the DSs aren't in the back trying to amalgamate forces and get, you know, an actual chase happening. If you put five guys chopping off for 10K, you're probably going to bring Alaphilippe back, no?
You are going to bring Alaphilippe back, even though he's gone like a madman.
Exactly, but when there's no actual chase, it's
pretty
hard.
There was just bits and pieces. It was that awkward number where each person had one or two teammates.
And it was, yeah, do 20 seconds here, 30 seconds there.
Surging of pace, which is really no help.
No.
And it just played into the hands of Alaphilippe and just continued quick steps year of dominance.
What did you say? His results, you went through them earlier. It was San Remo, Bianchi, a couple of stages of...
two stages of Basque Country, stage of Dauphiné, a couple others thrown in there as well.
Pieces,
It was
a big year.
Big year. And then even bigger, put in yellow jersey wearer at the Tour de France on home turf.
He'd be the biggest man in France right now, wouldn't
he?
He'd
be the biggest man in France right now.
How long can he hang it till?
I think he's at stage 7 is a mountain.
Well, stage 6 is the mountaintop. It's not super long, but it's quite steep, especially towards the finish. And what's he got? He's got, let's find the GC.
I think he's got about 20 seconds on the jumbo.
25 to Kreuzvik. So yeah. he might just be able to... He can climb.
Depends how badly Kreuzvik wants it.
Yeah.
Like, is he going to set the house on fire? Go, this is my opportunity to wear the yellow. I'm going to take this on.
George Bennett at 25 seconds as well.
Potentially. moving spare parts.
He's moving
into
spare parts.
The yellow jersey.
Brackets yellow jersey. Yeah. That's a spare part. And Bernal at 40. So there's a really red-hot chance that he can hold it past stage 6, and who knows, he might do a Tommy Vokler circa 2011. Somehow run a fourth.
Mm. Tunison got dropped with...
He got dropped about 10K to go.
Yeah,
he was suffering.
On the last climb. But full credit to the man. 2 days in yellow. Doesn't get much better than that. Matthews coming, winning the bunch kick for second. Shows he's obviously in good nick. And that sprinting form he was talking about is obviously nonsense.
Yeah.
As
we talked about. he's on 59 points and Sagan 76. So you're probably looking at those two, I think, for the battle for green.
Yeah, 100%.
At the end of the day.
And I think that'll be interesting to see how that goes when there's kind of breakaways where Sagan always just sticks himself on the back of this filthy heart.
If Matthews has been doing his climbing, training for Tommy D, then he's going to be there as well.
Tomorrow, surely a sprint stage. There's two Cat 4s.
The one at the end, it's hard enough to maybe drop a genuine sprinter if they ride it super hard. It's 3.4K at 5%. So you can sit in the wheels, you can get over it. But if the legs are a little bit, you might get dagged. So on paper, it's a genuine sprinter's day. And I'm going to tip Viviani.
Alex. Imagine Alaphilippe going bananas up the last climb winning yellow.
If anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Alaphilippe. Yellow jersey, not really a good point to attack, but he'll do it. I don't see it happening, but if anyone's going to do it, it's him.
Yeah,
in the yellow jersey.
I wouldn't mind that. Just even if he doesn't get anywhere, just him going mad.
Your tip?
Groenewegen.
Viviani.
It's going to be Groenewegen, Viviani, Caleb Ewan. Sagan will put his hat in the ring, but he'll come third. Don't forget to use our podcast code podcast15 on the mapped.cc store for 15% off. See you back at the Social Club next time.